Well, welcome to this class on the Gospel of Mark. We're going to begin here talking about four Gospels, one Jesus, session one. The Gospels, as we have them in the New Testament, which consist of the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. Now, we have these Gospels, but why do we have Gospels in the New Testament? Well, there are a couple things we can surmise about why we have these writings in the Bible. The Gospels can be seen to be providing historical information. The early church needed a faithful and authoritative record of the words and deeds of Jesus. Also, catechetical, which is just a fancy word for teaching, they needed to be able to instruct new converts in the Christian faith. And to do that, they needed to have the teachings of Jesus so that they could become disciples of Jesus. There's a liturgical need during worship gatherings to be able to read scripture and to be able to read the words of Jesus in exhortatory, so like an encouragement or sort of like telling people what they should do and what they can believe in. So the Gospels provide the words to encourage and assure believers in their faith. There's a theological purpose where to be able to settle some beliefs of what actually did Jesus teach his disciples to believe and to do. And then second to last, there's an apologetic, so people would be able to hear about the message that Jesus taught and to be able to respond to attacks to the church so they could defend the faith. Lastly, evangelistic for converting people and calling people to faith in Jesus. So we have these Gospels in the New Testament for some reasons such as these, but the question then is, why do we have four Gospels? Why do we need the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John? Why can't we just have the Gospel about Jesus? But we have four Gospels, but they're not all the same. What's different about all these Gospels? I want to go through the four Gospels and give you a couple reasons to see distinctions between them. Let's start with the Gospel of Matthew. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, each Gospel kind of presents Jesus as a certain figure. And the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as the king, the Davidic king. And the audience is primarily Jewish. In the Gospel of Matthew, there's a lot of emphasis on Jesus as the promised messianic king. There are a number of frequent quotations to the Old Testament with a lot of the same kind of introductory formula where it says like, this was to fulfill, and then they would quote an Old Testament passage. The Gospel of Matthew also contains some of Jesus's longest teachings. For example, the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5-7. And it concludes with the great commission of sending the disciples to go and teach others to be disciples like they are. And it's also can be seen to be structured in a certain way around five major blocks, movements in the gospel that can sort of be seen to echo perhaps Torah or the Pentateuch. Next, the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is presented as the servant. And the audience is likely a Jewish audience, and it is the shortest gospel. It's very fast-paced, as we will come to see. It focuses on Jesus's actions, what Jesus does, not so much on his teachings. It emphasizes Jesus's suffering and his sacrifice. It doesn't have any birth narrative or long sermons or teachings. And it's probably also one of the earliest accounts we have about the life and ministry of Jesus. The Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke presents Jesus as the Savior. And it's likely to be written toward a Gentile or a Greek-speaking audience. And Luke is presumably a Gentile, and he's a doctor and companion of the Apostle Paul. Now, the Gospel of Luke is the most ordered account and historically written with very detailed birth narrative. There's a lot of dates, people, places a lot of very particular specifics in the Gospel of Luke. And there's an emphasis in Luke on compassion toward those in need, on women and the poor and outcasts. And it contains a number of specific teachings of Jesus, particularly parables that are not found in any other gospel. For example, like the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the good Samaritan, and others. Lastly, the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John presents Jesus as the Son of God. And it's written to probably a mixed audience of Gentiles and Jews. Now, the Gospel of John uses a different approach than Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and it focuses a lot on who Jesus is as his identity, and not so much as trying to follow what he does, like his actions, or what he teaches as a rabbi. And it's structured around seven major signs or miracles and specific statements that are known as the I am statements. There are a number of personal encounters in the Gospel of John with individuals where Jesus has extended dialogue, for example, with Nicodemus or the Samaritan woman at the well. And it also has a number of theological motifs and imagery that it uses. For example, it makes a lot of use of the metaphors of light and darkness, with light being truth and darkness being the forces of evil and things that oppose God. Now, in these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, three of them are known as synoptic Gospels. And these are the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke. Why are they called synoptic Gospels? That's not a word that probably a lot of us are familiar with. Well, the word synoptic means to see together. It's a compound word that means to see something with a prefix that you see it with or see it together. And so Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are seen to be kind of presenting similar material. They have a lot of overlapping content. They share a significant literary connection between them, meaning they have a lot of similar phrasing and wording. They generally have a similar trajectory in their narrative development, and they're episodic in their narrative nature or in their narrative structure. Now, some of the distinctives in the synoptics with Matthew, Mark, and Luke is that they have a common sort of like frame of reference with regard to Jesus's ministry. It seems that they all kind of see Jesus's ministry as being able to fit within a single year time frame. They focus on Jesus as the fulfillment of messianic prophecy, and they speak of salvation as the kingdom of God and as entering into or inheriting that kingdom. Now, in contrast to that, the Gospel of John, as I mentioned, is different. The synoptic Gospels kind of see Jesus's ministry moving from the region of Galilee and then down south toward Jerusalem and Judea. But John has a lot of movement back and forth from Jerusalem to Galilee. John's gospel also seems to describe Jesus's ministry extending beyond a single year. And there are a number of signs or miracles which become sort of the central focus around which the gospel is structured. And there are a number of confrontations. The way that John presents Jesus's ministry a lot of times is in conflict with Jewish religious leaders. And Jesus is presented as the Son of God who reveals the Father. So there's a focus on Jesus's relationship with God. And lastly, salvation in the Gospel of John is more described as life in the age to come. There isn't such a focus on terminology like the kingdom of God. The Gospels, like the rest of the Bible, are writings. And that means it's literature. But when we think about the Gospels as literature, they are a unique type of literature. When we talk about literature, usually we try to think about, well, when we talk about kind of literature, it's usually the word genre. What's the genre in which that literature is composed? Now, Gospels, there's no like gospel genre of which you can neatly fit these writings into. But the New Testament Gospels do share a lot of resemblance and characteristics with ancient biographies. These are known as bioi, or translated as lives. It's the word bios, where we get the word for biology or biography. It's a writing about someone's life. But as literature, the Gospels are specifically historical. There's a lot of different kinds of literature in the world, but particularly when you talk about biographies, we're talking about telling somebody's life. That means it's real. It happened. It's part of history. And the Gospels are historical literature in the sense that they preserve the life of Jesus on a historical level. They report real things that happened in real places to real people. And the most important of those is Jesus of Nazareth. The Gospels are also narrative literature. Now, there's a lot of different ways to write. And one of the ways to write something is by writing it in a narrative way. This means you're writing it as something that is, you're telling a story that's unfolding. And the Gospels do just that. In the Gospels, there are some teachings and there are some descriptions of things that aren't so, I guess you'd say, smooth in presenting a storyline. Sometimes a story can jump around, as we can see, and we will, as I mentioned, the Gospel of John, that there's a lot of geographical movement. But really, the narrative literature, as I will get to a little bit later, there are certain characteristics about how the Gospels are written that demonstrate they're trying to tell a story. And in that sense, they're cohesive. They're something that connects all the writings together. Now, this is different than, for example, perhaps some Old Testament writings. Like if you're reading something from the genre of law, there can be a lot of disconnect between one law and another law and the law that's after that. Or if you're reading wisdom literature, for example, in the Psalms or in Proverbs, you can see that there are some sections that seem to just kind of be self-contained and the next section has nothing to do with it. It's just moving on to the next wisdom saying or the next psalmic account that is given. And lastly, and probably most importantly for the Gospels as literature, is that they are theological literature. And this means that there is something in them that is teaching. There's a teaching in them about God. There's a teaching in them about spirituality, about what God is trying to do, about what God wants, about how to live before God. And each one of the Gospels has parts of this where Jesus is teaching people how to be disciples of his and how to then come to God through him and be prepared for God's kingdom. Now, these four Gospels that we have, there are different ways to read them. The first way is called reading vertically. If you read a gospel vertically, what you're doing is you're reading that single record of the gospel according to whoever wrote it. The Gospel of Matthew, if you read it vertically, you're reading the way that Matthew, who we're going to assume to be the author of the gospel as has been traditionally ascribed, you're reading through the account that he has set in order for you to understand the life and ministry of Jesus. And this then applies as well to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. And so to read vertically is to kind of put them in, you might say, a silo. And you're just sticking within that one writing within the New Testament. Now, there are some advantages to this and some disadvantages. I'd like to go over a few here. So if you're reading vertically through a gospel, one of the advantages is that you will be able to pick up on the author's intent. That means each gospel writer wrote their gospel intentionally. And if you read it vertically, like you read within that one gospel from start to finish, it allows you to see the flow and the structure and the themes as the author wanted to present them. Another advantage is that you can get clarity of the message in that gospel. If you read the gospel, you will experience a coherent narrative without getting distracted by perhaps differences or other information if you are pulling in from different gospels. It's easier to follow a story if you are sticking with one version of it, rather than jumping around to different ones. A third advantage is the theological emphasis or emphases. So if you're reading one way that an author is presenting Jesus, for example, if you read Matthew's account, that's focusing on presenting Jesus as the king and presenting him as the fulfillment of messianic prophecy, as the coming son of David, then it's easier to see that motif or that theme develop in that gospel. Whereas if you jump around, you may not see that theme developing as much because not every author focuses on the same themes. Lastly, literary features. I think this is one of the most overlooked aspects of reading the gospels, is the way that a single gospel writer uses literary devices and aspects of writing and composition to sort of communicate certain things. If you read a single gospel, you'll be able to recognize certain patterns, repetition, chiastic structures, which is a way to sort of like bring together a section using something that starts in one with one topic, leads to a point, and then comes back to the same topic again. And then also to see how a story builds toward potential key moments in the life and ministry of Jesus. All of these are difficult, if not perhaps impossible, to really spot if you're jumping between gospels. Now, what's the drawback? Well, one drawback of reading vertically is you only see that one portrait or that one depiction of Jesus through the gospel writer's composition. There's a lot of depth of understanding and rich knowledge by seeing the way that all the gospels give information about Jesus. But if you just read one, you don't get a full picture. There are also differences or tensions that are important and can help magnify an understanding of one gospel in light of seeing the way that information is not included or the way that it's presented differently in a different gospel. And that can be missed if all you do is read a single gospel vertically. One-dimensional. So Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew as the king, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, that is the point that he's trying to present. And if that's the one point he's trying to present, you don't get to see maybe Gospel of Luke, where he's the Savior, the Gospel of John, where he's the Son of God. You miss those other dimensions about Jesus. Lastly, limited study. There's only so much that you can study in a single gospel, where there's a number of different things that you can study if you have a larger range of data. But it's kind of a two-edged sword. You can either focus on a narrow piece of literature, or you can have a broader scope and have multiple pieces of literature of which then can expand your study. Now, the other way to read the Gospels is what is called reading them horizontally. And that's where you read and compare the different Gospels with each other. Again, there are pros and cons. Let's read a couple of them here. So an advantage or a pro is that you can get a complete picture. You can see from all four accounts the largest sort of like picture possible. You get this multicolor, vivid image of the Messiah, Jesus. Clarifying details. If you look in the different gospels, you'll be able to gain a deeper knowledge into certain things that are missed or that are omitted. And you can kind of like fill in the gaps in a way and get details that are only available by comparing the gospels. You also can see the way that certain authors highlight things. Now, you can have an advantage of reading vertically by seeing what an author focuses on in within their own gospel, but you can also learn about what an author focuses on by looking at the different gospels and what each one is sort of saying and not saying. And lastly, diversity. The way that each gospel is composed by having all four of them, and you're looking at different ones, you get an assortment of perspective. And that allows you to have a diverse understanding of certain things in Scripture, either dealing with narrative or with historical or with theological matters. Now, the drawback of comparing and reading all the Gospels kind of together is that you start mixing all the narratives. And this can kind of be a downside, because you can get mixed up There can be a lot of places where you're reading something and you think you're reading in the same time frame as another gospel, but you may not be, because the gospels don't move along at the same pace. No gospel follows the exact same progression of sequence of events and chronology. Some of them will jump weeks between the different accounts that they report. Some of them will do the next day. And so to be able to be mindful of that. Over-harmonization. The danger of reading all the gospels can be that you smash them all together and try to make them all fit and have a very single step-by-step orderly account. And this can sometimes prove to be detrimental because some accounts report different matters on what Jesus said or did. And to say, well, did Jesus actually say A, B, C? Or did Jesus say A, B, E? And now you have to figure out, well, which words did Jesus actually really say? And to try to harmonize those can be destructive to an understanding of the way that the gospels are presenting their information. Gospel flattening. Each gospel is very dynamic. It's very unique in the way that it composes the information and the way that the author creatively is trying to show this picture of Jesus. And when you read across them, it can sometimes take all those sort of like individual nuances and just flatten them out. So you can lose some of that dynamic, some of the dynamism of the gospel itself. Lastly, to read among different gospels is a complicated matter. It requires very careful attention to details of the context and of the sequence that comes before and after in each gospel, and then how it relates between the gospels. And doing all this is very time consuming and can be fraught with difficulties. So those are some advantages and disadvantages of reading horizontally. So what we're going to do in this class is we're going to read the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Mark, as theological narrative. We're going to read it vertically. We're going to go through and we're going to look at the way Mark has taken the life of Jesus and has presented Jesus in a certain fashion, in a certain light, to try to have his reader understand things about this amazing man from Nazareth and what he said and what he did. And theological narrative is a story. We're going to read accounts and we're going to read things about people, places, and events, and it's going to have a point. The gospel writers, Mark included, did not write their account just for the sake of saying what happened. I think that is one value that we can never dismiss. We have a historical record of just what occurred. But it's written in such a way that it's supposed to have an impression upon the reader. It's supposed to cause us to think in a certain way by the way it's shaped and the way it's presented. Now, as we go through the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to find things such as the way it's written is part of a narrator. The author views himself implicitly as a narrator telling a story about, telling the story about Jesus. There will be settings, there will be places and things that are going to come into play and be important for understanding context about various events and about certain things that Jesus does. And there are characters. Jesus isn't the only person who's mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. There are a lot of people mentioned. And we're going to look at when the writer brings in certain characters, how those characters affect the narrative, what role they're playing, the way that Jesus responds to them, perhaps, what they do next. This is all part of understanding the composition of the gospel. And lastly, this all flows into a plot. Narrative means that there's a shape to what is being said so that you understand a story or you understand an account. So we're going to be looking at sequence and what's called causation. Why does something come after what preceded it? Is there a cause that links the next event, or what is the relationship between these two accounts? Drama, a story or a narrative has something going on, a drama in which the story is being told. Typically, there's some type of conflict or struggle that the characters are going through, which is supposed to then tell the audience a certain principle, a certain point. And through that conflict or struggle, something is learned and a story is told, and there's then a climax. And in the climax, there's often a resolution to what the characters have been going through. Sort of like where the whole story is leading doesn't just end up being, a cliffhanger and it doesn't go anywhere. There's a shape to it, to where it then comes to how does the story end? Every narrative has an ending, and that ending sort of brings full circle what they've been telling and why they've been telling what they have the whole time. So in this class, beginning in the next session, we're going to go through the Gospel of Mark as theological narrative and understand how this particular writing in the New Testament has caused such a revolution in its own time when it was first written and still does today.